Trinity Sunday, a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. Jesus said to his disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but they would be too much for you now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you to the complete truth, since he will not be speaking as from himself, but will say only what he has learnt, and he will tell you of the things to come. He will glorify me, since all he tells you will be taken from what is mine. Everything the Father has is mine. That is why I said, all he tells you will be taken from what is mine."
In this brief passage, Jesus is speaking to his apostles just before they leave the house of the Last Supper for the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, "My going away is a good thing also for you, otherwise the Comforter will not come. I will send him to you. And when he has come, through the wisdom and the words, the deeds and the heroism that he will infuse into you, he will convince the world of its deicide sin and of justice with regard to my holiness. And a clear cut will divide the world into reprobates, enemies of God, and believers. The latter will be more or less holy according to their will. But judgment will be passed on the prince of the world and his servants. I cannot tell you more, because you are not able to understand. But he, the Paraclete, will give you the whole truth, because he will not speak as from himself. He will tell you everything he heard from the mind of God, and he will announce the future to you. He will take what comes from me, that is, what is still of the Father, and will tell you." Early in his public life, Jesus explains to his apostles why he speaks to the people in parables, whereas the apostles know that his teachings have a higher meaning. He says, "Prophets and many just people were anxious to see what you see, and they did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and they did not hear it. They pined away with the desire to understand the mystery of the word. But as soon as the light of the prophecy went out, the words remained like burnt out coals for the holy man who had received them. Only God reveals himself. When his light fades out, as soon as the purpose of illuminating the mystery comes to an end, the inability to understand envelops the regal truth of the word received like the bandages of a mummy. That is why I said to you this morning, the day will come when you will find everything I have given you. Now you cannot remember, but later light will come upon you, not just for a moment, but for an inseparable union of the eternal Spirit with yours, whereby your teaching concerning what pertains to the kingdom of God will be infallible. And what applies to you will apply also to your successors, if they live of God as of one bread only." Shortly before Jesus ascends into heaven, John tells him of his anxiety at not being able to overcome his human weaknesses after Jesus is gone. John says, "Oh, my adored and adorable Jesus, who have saved us from the original sin, taking our sins upon yourself and consuming them in the ardour of your perfect love, take and consume also our intellects of obstinate Israelites. Give us new mentalities as pure as that of a newborn baby. Make us lose our memories to fill us only with your wisdom. So many things of the past died on that horrible day and became dead like you. But now that you have risen from the dead, make a new thought come into our minds. Create new hearts and new minds for us, my Lord, and we shall understand you. Jesus replies, "That task is not for me, but for him of whom I spoke to you at the Last Supper. Every word of mine is lost in the abyss of your thoughts, all or in part, or remains locked and closed in its spirit. Only the Paraclete, when he comes, will draw my words from your abyss and will open them to you, to make you understand the spirit of them. Through a rite that I will explain to you another day, the soul infused into man will be vivified by grace, and the Spirit of the Lord will take possession of it. But you, who were baptized with water by John, will be baptized with fire by the power of God. Then the Spirit of God will really be in you, and it will be the Master whom men cannot persecute or drive away, and who, in your interior, will explain the spirit of my words to you and give you many other instructions. The Paraclete will remind you of my words and will enlarge on them in detail, and you will not be afraid, because you will remember that I gave you the first seed. Allow yourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit. If my hand was kind in guiding you, his light is very mild. He is the love of God. So I am going away happy, because I know that he will take my place and will lead you to the knowledge of God." Azaria, Maria's guardian angel, speaks of the fulfilling gift of Pentecost for the apostles and for God's instruments of later times. To that epiphany in the Galilean March, and to the other on the banks of the Jordan, there was joined the luminous, crowning epiphany of Pentecost, the promised epiphany which Christ had mentioned to his apostles to console them on that Paschal night and on the morning of the Ascension. There it was fulfilled, preceded by a preparation of obedience and prayer to make the poor apostles into the great apostles, to baptize them with fire, as Jesus had predicted to them. By this, they would be cleansed of their dullness, and, more spirit than flesh, be able to plunge into the fire and spread it everywhere, setting the whole world aflame with it. The Spirit well knew what he was accomplishing at that moment. He was carrying out the transformation of hearts, and he was changing them from hearts of men into voices of God. That's it. The Spirit carries out these operations. He takes the nothingness that is able to love, that is obedient, that is faithful, that speaks of God in confident prayer, and he invests it with himself. He transforms it. He makes it an instrument of God. "You will carry out a new creation," it is said. Yes, he performs the recreation of man as an instrument, so that the instrument's good will, when joined to love, will supercreate the holy. And observe. The first person rose up and commanded, "Let there be light." The third says, "Let there be love." The first commanded, "Let there be man." And the third, "Let there be holiness." The first cried to Lucifer, "Be accursed." The third sets hatred to flight with the splendor of love. I told you before that Mary was beautiful and beloved, because she was beautiful in justice through her own will in addition to the Lord's will. And for this reason, she deserved marriage with God. I also told you that the apostles deserved the Pentecostal chrism because of their obedience and prayer in preparation for the event. Every soul, to deserve love, must, with its own will, want love, and must maintain itself worthy of love by obedience and unwearying prayer. If it did not do so, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon it would be in vain, for in descending he could not make his dwelling there, and would swiftly ascend again to heaven, leaving aridity, cold, darkness, and silence, where there might have been fruitfulness, warmth, light, and divine lessons. But if this is for all the faithful, for the instruments, it is even more so. The apostles were changed from men into voices of God through the work of the Paraclete and through their own preparation in obedience and prayer. Those called to a special mission, and every call is a test, but it is not yet a sure and immutable election, are transformed into voices by the work of love, with a capital L, and through their own preparation in obedience and prayer. Don't ever give another name to the nothings who become an instrument. It is their obedience, their speaking with God, their obeying the commands of God, which make them what they are. And do not give another name except that of disobedience and pride to the falls of those who seemed just and had only the external varnish of the just. Soul of mine, I will never cease, at the cost of seeming monotonous to you, to exhort you to practice those virtues necessary for all, but absolutely indispensable and in full measure in the being chosen for an extraordinary role. These virtues are perfect obedience, perfect humility, and a spirit of union with God, that is, lived prayer, and not, indeed, the mechanical mumbling of prayers at certain hours.